Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope you're having a great feast. I can't believe it's already the seventh day. It moves by so quickly. And yet, what a blessing it is to be with family, with friends, and to meet new acquaintances, but also to hear the words of God and to be reminded of a future that is so great that it can stagger our minds when we think about all that God has planned out for us. For the past 6 days, we've heard about the beautiful promises that take place in the coming kingdom of God, amazing changes that God will bring forth. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said as he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you." And so as God's people, we should be thankful for all things. My title today is Giving Thanks for the Feast of Tabernacles. Paul was not talking about just a feeling, though. You know, it's good to feel thankful. But he was actually saying, I want you to take action. I want you to express your thanks. And this Feast of Tabernacles pictures so much. And the messages we've heard can't begin to cover all the many changes that are coming. I would like to encourage all of us today to improve in stepping out and giving God the thanks that is due to Him. If we truly are grateful for the coming millennial promises, then we should consider the three ways that I would offer to increase our thanks to God. The first one is to think more about the blessings that God has given us, that this feast pictures. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4:8, he says, meditate on these things. And then he talks about items that are pure and noble, things that are just and lovely, and of a good report. This is what God wants us to be thinking about. And I think that would include the blessings that this feast pictures. Those are truly noble and just items that God is bringing. We're told to seek first the kingdom of God. And that should start with our thoughts, shouldn't it? Because the book of Proverbs tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So God wants us to be thinking along these lines. An important way to grow in giving thanks is to ponder the things of God, to meditate on them, to think about all that he has done, and to continue to do that more and more as the days go by. We realize that nothing will stop God from fulfilling all that he has spoken. He has all power, all authority, all might. Let's briefly summarize some millennial changes that God has purposed to do. And as we add these changes together, these promises that God has given us, it should stir us to be more grateful than we are. The first item that I'll bring to mind is one world government. How different that will be. Let's begin by turning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. And we'll only turn to scriptures in Isaiah, and I'll refer to a few others throughout the message. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Brethren, we realize that today many world leaders take advantage of their people. They can live in absolute luxury while their people starve and are homeless. And we're looking for a government where that won't be the case. We see the different forms of government that man has tried: socialism, communism, democracy. But nothing has worked, right? And man's still searching. But only God knows the type of government that we need. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Only God will bring about that government. It will be perfect, it will be righteous, it will be fair. How blessed people will be under Jesus Christ as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can look forward to these promises, but do we thank God in advance? Because that's one of the ways that we can be seeking the kingdom of God. Our Father is reminding us, he's saying, get your minds ready for an unbelievable future. And giving thanks to him helps us to do that. Let's look at another millennial change that we should offer thanks for: one religion. There's a time coming when the whole world will understand the beautiful plan of God. Right now, that is so different. Our families, our neighbors, and everyone basically out there that hasn't been called does not quite grasp what God is doing. You know, the other night in the teen class, the teen Bible study, I should say, I asked the teens to mention some items that they were thankful for, and they jotted down a few things that they're thankful for regarding the millennium. Let me read one of those quotes. Here's a 14-year-old teen, and they said, "I'm thankful that in the millennium, everyone will understand what the Feast of Tabernacles means, and everyone will be in attendance." Consider how different that will be. Like if you're in school, you won't be telling your teacher, "I'm heading off to the feast." No, the whole classroom, everybody in the school will go. Our neighbors won't be asking, "Why do you go to keep the Sabbath?" No, everyone will have the same religion. And at that time, God will begin to teach the nations, and you and I have to remember that we're here to learn so that we can help and teach along with Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God's ways will be available to all. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. Isaiah 11 verse 9. It says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Here we are at Jekyll Island, and we can go look at the ocean, and we can see how the waters cover out there. And God says, that's how much my knowledge is going to cover the earth. That's a beautiful picture. And so this analogy shows that God's way will spread until those far-reaching nations have heard of his way and begin to comprehend and live by that. Isn't that exciting? Because right now, I would be happy if just a few of my neighbors knew of God's way. But in the future, they will all learn of God's laws and his plan. We have no reason to doubt the power of God in fulfilling this. We know he is almighty. He has purposed it. He will do it. I'll just refer to Zechariah 14, verse 16. It says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." One world religion. Won't that be beautiful? All will believe the same, and these prophecies will come to pass. We know that God cannot lie. We can be thankful for a time when we can walk up to anyone and discuss the laws of God, discuss the Sabbath day, discuss unclean foods, and people will understand and converse. And if these were the only changes, one world government and one religion, wouldn't that be great? But there's more. Let's consider the nature of wild animals and that how they will be changed. I think all of us are looking forward to this one. Yesterday out in the lobby, I asked an 8-year-old what she was looking forward to in the millennium. And she goes, "I can't wait to be able to pet all the animals that God has created." And that will be wonderful. There's a lot now that are poisonous or dangerous, and we can't do that. Let's look here in Isaiah 11 and verse 6. Isaiah 11 verse 6. It says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." And it goes on to express more there of these coming changes. What a difference the world will be when we don't need zoos to contain the animals because they're dangerous, but we can walk right up to them. I remember when I was a small boy, and my friend and I were walking down the street, and there was this dog inside the fence. He reached his hand in, wanting to pet the dog, but it bit his hand and tore it up pretty well. And those things in the future will not happen. And all the things that we fear, the snakes and the spiders and all the problems, God will change those. And every change that God has purposed will be so wonderful, and we should be so thankful for that. One other area how we can express thanks, brethren, is we should talk more. Not only pray about, or I should say not only think about these things, but to talk more about the coming kingdom of God. As Christ was talking, he said in Matthew 12, verse 34, he says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What is it that we're talking about? What is on our minds, we're thinking, and then we're talking about with one another? This feast gives us the opportunity to express our gratitude for the meaning of these days. And this feast will actually be over in just a few hours, and another holy day starts tomorrow. And it's gone by very quickly, but we should share our excitement each day with the spiritual family that we have, After service today is another opportunity to talk about the kingdom of God and all that God has blessed us with. We should do it throughout the year, at the weekly Sabbath. Every opportunity we get, God would want his children to think about and to talk about his ways. This feast pictures so much. How can we not be joyful? How can we not talk about our future that is coming? But wait, there's more. The deserts will spring to life. And so God just keeps adding more and more of the beautiful changes that this Feast of Tabernacles pictures. Today, I was reading that the deserts cover about 14% of the world's landmass. That's huge, over 8 million square miles. Another 15% has desert-like qualities. Just think of how all that will change under the government of God. There will be more room for farms and ranches, less apartments where people are stacked up and people can spread out and have their own vine and fig tree. Let's look at Isaiah 35 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. Here's what another teen said regarding the deserts and so forth. He said, plants and seeds will grow like they should without needing to use pesticides or dealing with weeds, insects, disease, and etc. And so even our young ones are looking forward to a time when everything will grow differently than it does now because we don't get the rain in due season and so forth. And these promises are so sure that we should talk about them daily with our mates, with our children, teaching them about the future so they'll raise up and talk with their children. This feast also pictures agricultural abundance, not just in the deserts, but all over the land. The prophet Amos says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." Can you imagine a time when no one is hungry? Today, there are hundreds of millions of people around the world that are starving or malnourished. And all this will change. Another teen said this, "I'm looking forward to agricultural abundance because no one will ever be hungry again." And then she added, "And food will be cheaper." Yeah, that's true. You know, there's so many things that we all look at that affect us. And so God wants his children to express their gratitude for all that he plans to do. And I could go on more and talk about more changes. The time of peace that we've heard about, the pure language that is coming, proper justice that God will bring forth, the new education system that God will teach us how to teach others, the Holy Spirit being offered, poured out upon all flesh, the cities being rebuilt, and more. Let me just mention one other item. The millennium will be a time of healing. Let's look at here at Isaiah 35 and verse 5. Isaiah 35, verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing." Brethren, the changes are so amazing what God will do. Another 15-year-old wrote, "I'm thankful that there will be no more sickness in the kingdom, because my sister had cancer, and it makes me happy that no one will have to suffer with ailments." It touches all of our lives, doesn't it? And these things that God says, "I have purposed it, I will do it, I will bring this forth." We all know someone with a disease, with a sickness, with missing limbs. It affects all of us. These are very encouraging words that God gives us, not only to those who experience the sickness, but to the parents of the child that's sick, or to the mate that has to deal with the dementia, the Alzheimer's, or the cancer that your mate might have. And it will affect the whole world in so many beautiful ways. We should not only think about these things, and not only talk about the coming changes, but brethren, one last thing, we should pray about it more. In the model prayer, Jesus Christ said, "Pray, thy kingdom come." He wants us to show gratitude in our prayers. Tell God how grateful you are for all the promises that are sure to happen. Don't go back to your regular routine and forget about all that this pictures and just to let it all go. But God says, be stirred up. Meditate on it. Talk about it. Pray about it. so that it stays alive in your hearts and minds, and we can prepare for it better. Our Heavenly Father is teaching us more than just feeling thankful. He's saying, I want you to do something. I want you to give thanks. I want you to express it. And the Scriptures remind us that we should meditate, talk, and pray about it. Brethren, a tremendous restoration is coming. God has said in Isaiah also that He has purposed it. He will do it. And we know we can believe Him in that. Let's show God more glory, honor, and respect by following His instructions. Thanks be to God for the coming Feast of Tabernacles and all that it pictures.